You know, who's had sin in their life? Who's been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb? And I'll tell you what, if you haven't been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, today could be your birthday. Hallelujah. Where you give your life to Christ. Repent of your sin, surrender your life to Christ, and be born again. The Bible clearly says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there is a way that can be done, and that's by confessing your sin, repenting of it, and asking Jesus to be your guide. And it's as simple as that. And then He does the work in you, and you'll feel changes come over you that the sin you once loved, you'll eventually begin to hate. And it's all from the love of Christ. Okay, let's quiet down, everybody, and let's just pray. Because you are here as a divine appointment today. And Father, we just thank You and praise You for the gifts that You give us. And Lord, we thank You and praise You for the people who give all these clothes so freely. And those who get up in the morning and come down and bring food. Bless them all, Lord. And Lord, help us to be hands and feet of Jesus today as we bring the Word of God. Lord, I pray for Reverend Sam Boykin as he gives the Word. And Lord, You're going to speak through him as You always do. He's got a beautiful testimony. And the Lord has done a powerful work in his life. Lord, transform Your people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're going to thank You in advance for what You're about to do in this place today. And we will give You all the glory, the honor, and praise that You always deserve. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, once again, our friend Reverend Sam Boykin is going to come up and give the Word. So I want you to all pay attention now.
Take my Bible off.
He's a gentle-spirited man here who comes down every Saturday. And he's a man of God who wants to share the Word with you. So pay attention, listen up, and receive a message from the Lord. Okay, everybody kind of put your phones down, put your iPads down. If you got a Bible, you can open up that. But right now is the time you got to give to the Lord. Amen? Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank and praise the Lord for being here this morning. I give honor to my Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I thank and praise God for Pastor Steve and Pastor Judy and Jesus Said Ministries. And we give an honor to all of the volunteers and each and every one of y'all that are here today in this, under the sound of my voice. I thank and praise God for each and every one of us. Because Jesus lives, we live. And I thank and praise God. There's two points I would like to make today. I'm going to try not to be before you very long. Please pray with me as I attempt to bring forth this message. I have two foundational scriptures I would like to come from, and that's Matthew's the 7th chapter, verse 13 and 14. And St. John, verse 14 and 6. And the thought for today is, there is good and bad news. The bad news is, there is a hell. And the good news is that God doesn't want any of us to go there, to attend. And we have a risen Savior that's alive and lives forevermore. And I thank and praise God for that. In the when we look at the Bible, and a lot of people, I'm going to set a foundation here, and then we'll go to those verses. But when we look at the Bible, there's a lot of chronological numbering that matches up, and things that God shows us in the Bible that no other book that's ever written or that will be written will be able to match what God did in the Bible, in His own holy word. And we look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as He was on the cross and how things came about in that particular manner. And on the cross, when He was on the cross, there was seven places that He bled from. And in that also, there were seven things that Jesus said while He hung on the cross that were prominent. And there were seven prominent witnesses when He died. And also, He descended into hell to get the keys from and death and the keys from Satan on the seventh hour. And God orchestrated all of that in perfect harmony with the number seven. And God, throughout the entire Bible, chronologically organizes His entire word in that manner in a lot of different places in the Bible. And when you look at Jesus, one of the seven places that He bled from, it says He bled from His head, and He gives that verse. He bled from His back when they whipped Him on the back. He bled from His hand, each hand with the nails, and He bled from His feet, the nails in His hands and feet, and He bled from the spear that they pierced Him in the side. And the things that He said, only seven things that He spoke while He was going through all that pain and agony and suffering for each and every one of us. And He said, Father, the first thing He said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of us are able to forgive people when they're persecuting us or harming us or abusing us? Not many. But as a Christian, we're required to do so. This is the example that our Lord and Savior set for each and every one of us. You know, America is starting to lose that type of moral foundation and that type of moral character. But then at one time, that is what made America great, is that we had a moral foundation where we really were more of a godly nation. There's many nations now that we've sent missionaries to that are more godly than we are. In fact, when you look at TBN and you look at, and I'm starting to get away from my notes, but when you look at TBN and you look at the Word Channel and TCT and a lot of those Christian stations, you see people now, they come from other nations that we sent missionaries to. They're coming to America, setting up churches and preaching to us now. We have become so far from God that we have to have other nations come to America and teach us about God. And we got more churches than those nations. We have more resources than those nations. We're wealthier than those nations. And we got those other nations that we taught about God are now sending people here to teach our people about God. That's a sad day. You know, and I was looking at when we took prayer out of the schools. Now, I'm old enough that when I was in school, every morning we would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and we would say the Lord's Prayer. And each and every one of us should have a prayer life. And when we really look at that as Christians, many of us don't look at the effect of that. When you have millions of children nationwide saying the Lord's Prayer every morning, it makes a big difference in how it affects our country and the lives of people in this country. You know, when they took prayer out of the school, before they took prayer out of the school, they don't have a record where there was many guns in the public school system. There wasn't that many knives in the public school system. Children were shooting rubber bands and wadding up paper throwing at each other and stuff. Once we took prayer out of the public school system, it changed the entire dynamics of this public school system. And that's according to record. I mean, you know, our public school system has a record of the crimes that have been committed in the schools over the years. And when they go back and look at what happened during the time when prayer was in the school and during the time that prayer was taken out of the school, it's a major difference. You can see that Satan came in and set a whole new standard in our school system. And when you look at America, that's happening in this whole country. That same thing that happened to our public school system is starting to happen, has happened, not starting to happen, has happened to America. We have, when you look at the crime rate nationwide in this country, of what citizens are doing to each other nationwide, it's unbelievable. You know, at one time, some of the crimes that you hear about as far as people killing children and children killing each other and kids committing heinous crimes with serious weapons at 12 and 13 and 14 years old. That was unheard of when I was a child. You would very seldom ever hear of anything like that. Now it's the normal thing of the day, nationwide. You know, there's so many crimes happen. I think when they advertise it on TV now, every 3 seconds, there's a major crime taking place in the United States. I mean, we are one of the most crime-ridden nations on earth. And when you look at it, we got police officers that are well-armed, and most of our cities are secured with police officers, and yet we still have all them crimes. When you think about England, their police officers don't even carry guns. And when you think about, here's a nation that, you know, their officers are unarmed and they're not faced with nowhere near the type of crimes that are being generated in what should be one of the most Christian nations on earth. Did start off that way 50, 60 years ago, and now we've advanced to the point where we have more crimes than any other nation on earth. I was involved in a study of listening with some people that did a background on how when America had sent a lot of its television programming to Israel, and they didn't hardly have that much crime rate. And because of our television programming and the things that we have on television, their young people started to commit a lot of the crimes that we have in the United States. And so we are not only committing a lot of crimes and things against each other here in the United States, but we're exporting those things now. Me and Pastor Steve was talking about Planned Parenthood. And when you look at Planned Parenthood, they're now collecting monies from the United States government, from taxpayers, you and me and everyone else. And we are now doing Planned Parenthood activities in foreign countries. In other words, with America's taxpayers' money, we are aborting children in foreign countries now. It wasn't enough that we were committing all that murder in the United States. Now we are exporting that type of murder to foreign countries. And where does it all stop? We have a Lord and a Savior that is alive and lives in the hearts of many of us. But when you look at the church now, and when you look at a lot of the church on TV, and a lot of the things that's going on in the churches, we're more concerned about building big, new, pretty buildings, and we're more concerned about the collection plates and our own personal blessings than we are about collectively improving this nation and changing the course of this nation. But if we don't change the course of this nation, it takes each and every one of us and to seek Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and to have a personal relationship with Him and to change our own lives first, and then we may be able to change someone else's life. But this nation is in bad shape. And at this point, if we continue to go in the direction that we're going in, we're going to be destroyed. There's no doubt about it. We're not the nation that we used to be. And when you look at 9/11, and I was working in one of the furniture stores, and I was saying the judgment was on America. Well, some of the people that I was talking about that was pretty financially well off and knew some people that were in the Trade Center that knew them personally, they didn't appreciate me saying that God allowed that to happen and that judgment is on America. But the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And when you look at the wages of sin is death, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, before they sinned, they were living in paradise. It was no tornadoes. It was no hurricanes. It was no snow. It had never rained. Because when you look at Genesis in the book of, in the seventh chapter of the book of Genesis, Noah built the first ark to prepare for rain. It had never rained. These storms and everything that you see upon the face of the earth and all these earthquakes and all of these circumstances that you see taking place in all of these wars is a matter of sin. Animals didn't even kill and eat each other. And once Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered into the world, all of us now have to deal with it on a personal level. And one of the things that we have to realize, and two of the points that I want to make today, is that there is a judgment. I've had a lot of people, and I even have family members, that do not believe that there's a hell. And I travel with evangelist Jerry Cloyd a lot, and he preaches that salvation message. And I told him, I said, you know, one of the things that God has given me as a revelation with traveling with you is that regardless of what you have been delivered from, if you've been delivered from drugs, alcohol, gambling, cigarette smoking, whoremongering, all of those things you can be delivered from. But the one thing that we must realize, if we do not get delivered from going to hell, all that's in vain. And that was what I shared with him is a revelation that I received in from his message, because I've been delivered from a lot of things that I hear people in church talk about. And I give my testimony down here sometime. I don't give my testimony a lot of times in church because church people will look at you kind of cross-eyed and wonder, are you saved? And then they'll say, well, man, he's been through all that. He ain't been delivered. You know, they will judge you. And one thing you have to realize is the Bible tells us not to judge. So if I'm looking at you and I'm judging you and God has changed you, but I'm still judging you, it's a possibility that I may lose my own salvation while I'm sitting around judging you. And God then changed you and cleaned you up, and you're on your way to heaven, and I'm looking at what you used to do, you know. And you got a lot of church people doing that. And so a lot of times I don't give any of those real horrible testimonies that I have, you know, about being in the street life, you know. Me and Evangelist, we talk a lot about that because he used to be in the street real heavy, and I spent a lot of time in Houston, Texas, and Washington, D.C., and New Orleans, and all that. And I was on drugs during those times. And, you know, it was a little outrageous. And Satan will use you as much as you will allow him to use you. And many of us in here today are going through them same things in our own life. And I've even communicated with people that think that everything is all right, and I even have people, family members that think, well, you know, I can do whatever I want to do, and then when the time comes, I'll receive salvation. Well, that's not guaranteed. You may not see tomorrow. You may go to sleep and not wake up. And then when you do wake up, you wake up in the wrong place for eternity. So all that stuff is not guaranteed. You can't wait to the last minute on salvation and say, well, you know, I'm going to play Russian roulette with my eternity. That's a mad, crazy way to look at receiving Christ. You know, one of the verses I would like to examine is, because I've heard even ministers preach on TV that you can commit suicide and go to heaven. And you got a lot of people, like there's 38,000 people in the United States per year since 2010 that are committing suicide. And some ministries are telling them it's okay, you can go to heaven doing that. Well, listen at this verse right here. It's 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In other words, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Ghost is dwelling upon you, you don't have the right to destroy that temple. You don't have the right to put drugs in there like I was doing for many years. You don't have right to smoke two packs of cigarettes like I was doing for many years. You don't have the right to do that. God is against that. And that temple doesn't belong to you. Now, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't fall under this verse, but you're not saved, so you fall under a whole different category. But we still have to deal with these issues in our life, and all of us have issues, and we all going to have issues to the day we leave this world. And this is the reason why Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross for each and every one of us, that we may receive salvation, because it's a work in progress. You know, even after Jesus rose from the grave, one of the main things that Jesus did is he went into intercession. He went into intercessory prayer. The Bible says in Corinthians that he is our intercessor. In other words, even after you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you still are a work in progress. You still need Jesus to fulfill your life. You still need Jesus to take you through the process of getting rid of all the old junk that you had in your life. And it's a fight and a struggle in the mind, where the flesh is warring against the spirit, as the Bible says. So you still have those issues that you have to deal with. And that's on a daily basis. And this is the reason why the Bible says man should always pray. And the more we pray and the stronger our relationship becomes with God, the more this process fulfills itself in each and every one of our lives. And the more we are able to approach the throne of grace, not only for ourselves, but for other people. And I'm not going to continue to hold this a long time today, but I that was one of the points that I really wanted to make. And this is the other point, that there is a judgment. And in the book of Revelations, on the 20th chapter, verse 11 through verse 15, it says, "And I saw the great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the other books was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them and their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, the second death. Even those that are already in hell has to come before God and receive a second judgment and be cast into the lake of fire, which is eternal punishment. You know, I was sharing with evangelists that, you know, and in closing, I was sharing with evangelists that, you know, that must be an awesome fire because this your spirit can't die. So it's not any type of fire that we know as far as mankind. It's not the kind of fire that man could create. It's something that God had to create that could torture and punish an eternal soul that cannot be destroyed. And so when we look at that, that is a horrible thought that we would spend that type of eternity in anyone's life. And yet many people say there is no hell because they don't feel that a loving God would send mankind to an eternal hell. And you hear a lot of people say that. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that. I have family members that are Jehovah's Witnesses. But here's the thing. God is a just God. You have a choice. You can go to an eternal heaven or eternal hell. He gave you a choice. So it's fair when you really look at it now, because you can choose an eternal heaven or you can choose an eternal hell. And so it's not that he's being unfair or unwilling. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on an old rugged cross to help you with that decision, to make sure that you make an end. We have so many people that are rejecting Jesus and don't believe that he's the Son of God. But when you really look at his word and you look at all of the prophecies in the Old Testament that speak to the fact that Jesus Christ was going to be born in a manger in Bethlehem and in the city of David. And these prophets, Isaiah, saw this 750 years before Jesus was born. There is no book on the face of the earth that prophecies fulfill like they do in the Bible. If that doesn't show you that God is who he says he is and that he can do what he says he can do, I don't know what else you need. But his word is fulfilling itself. We look in this day and time that we live in right now. And in the book of Isaiah, I think it's the 66th chapter, verse 8, the Bible said that Israel became a nation in one day. When in May 16th, 1948, they signed a treaty and Israel became a nation again. Isaiah seen that almost, 2,000 years before it actually took place, over 2,000 years. And only God could have showed him that, because only God could have fulfilled that. And so if we have doubts about God as who he says he is, and that he can do what he says he can do, then we need to read the book a little more. We need to stop listening to those soothsayers and say this book is contradicting itself, because it's not contradicting itself. When you hear people say that, what they're telling you is that they don't understand the Bible, that they don't read the Bible, and that if they are reading it, they're not praying for understanding, because God will give you understanding. In the book of James, he said, if you lack wisdom, pray and God will give you wisdom. So there is no excuse. We many times make up a lot of excuses and circumstances in our lives and stuff. And believe me, I still have a whole lot of them. And I had a whole lot more before I found Jesus. He's gotten rid of a lot of them circumstances and a lot of that baggage that I have. And I just want you to know today, he'll do the same thing for you. He's an almighty God, and there's nothing impossible with God. Jesus will deliver you from a lot of them circumstances, from a lot of that baggage that you're carrying that you don't need. And in closing, I would like to say that we thank each and every one of you for being here, and we're going to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. And anyone that wants to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, please come. And don't let what other people may think of you hinder you from coming, because it's an individual thing. the day you stand before Christ, and I read you that white throne judgment, it's an individual trip to heaven or hell. Nobody's going with you. Not your mother, not your father, not your grandmother, not your grandfather, not your husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend. Nobody's going. This is an individual decision, and it's an individual trip. And so, therefore, you got to stand on this on your own. Now, if you don't make that decision today, it's not guaranteed to none of us, but you got to make take a serious thought and take a serious evaluation of your life and make a decision where you want to spend eternity, because that's the most important decision you'll ever make. And I thank and praise God for being here today, and I thank and praise God for each and every one of you. And I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that went forth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every one. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your word enters the hearts and minds of each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead and guide each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, protect our loved ones that aren't here, Heavenly Father. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you reach out to them, Heavenly Father, in a lost and a dying world. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.